Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November the 1st through the 8th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale at cph.org and at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November the 1st through the 8th. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It is so very common. I live in a rather high crime region of the country. St. Louis is a mecca for crime, and it's not unusual on a weekly basis, if not sometimes more than once a week, to see the tragic story of a young child abused or killed. And usually, you don't have to go far to guess who the perpetrator is. It is, in fact, the live-in boyfriend. That's probably your experience, too, watching the nightly news. Tragic stories of children abused and killed. And there seems to be a common denominator in all of those things. We're going to be talking about this as an issue, really, of social justice. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. Jen taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Can we talk about these children who are victims of these crimes as victims of the sexual revolution as well?
Well, I think we can, because what happens so often is that their mother is living with somebody who is not their father, and the boyfriend is more interested in having sex with the mother than he is in the well-being of the child. The child is kind of a leftover, the child's kind of in the way, the child's kind of underfoot, and the child then becomes a target for aggression and jealousy and things like that. And so I'm certainly not saying that every cohabiting family abuses its children or that every step family abuses its children, certainly not, but we do know from social science research that it is a higher probability event that your unrelated adult in the household is going to be the person most likely to perpetrate violence on children.
The numbers are pretty stunning here and so tragically consistent. It's hard to deny that there's a correlation. What do they look
like?
Well,
that's right. I mean, whenever this question is studied, it's something like 40 or 50 times more likely for a child to be injured or even killed by the unrelated adult or the mother's live-in boyfriend, whatever the subject might be. I mean, there was a study about 10 years ago now out of Missouri that looked at childhood deaths from inflicted injuries, you know, meaning the kid didn't fall down the steps, you know, or the child didn't die of pneumonia. The child died because injuries were inflicted on them. And I think about 85% of those children were killed by the unrelated adult in the household. And most of the time that was the mother's boyfriend. So there's really just an enormous amount of evidence. And whenever I've given this talk in front of an audience, it isn't unusual for a law enforcement officer or social worker to come up to me and start shaking my hand like crazy and say, "Dr. Morse, we see this every day in our work. You know, when we're called in for a domestic violence situation, this is so often what we're called in to deal with." And so it's not just the statisticians and the demographers and the social science people who see it. It's also the people who are out there on the front lines dealing with the problems of the poor and the problems of the broken family.
And you say that this isn't just a problem of, say, poverty or people living in the trailer park this way, that this is a basic and intrinsic problem with cohabitation. Talk about that.
Well, we have to back up a minute. It's certainly true that high income and high education is a protective factor against all kinds of things, so that the higher income families are less likely to be observing having domestic violence of any kind. That's true. But it's also true that when you hold constant for income, you will still see that compared to a married couple household, a cohabiting household will have higher levels of domestic violence. So put it another way, if you've got two middle-class households living next to each other, same income, same education, one's a cohabiting household, one's a married couple household, you're more likely to see domestic violence against the children and against the women in the cohabiting household than in the married household. That's the kind of statistic work that's been done.
why is this? And I don't think you're being tongue-in-cheek when you say that this is really a social justice issue.
Oh, it is a social justice issue. And the I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago on The Blaze, and I specifically was talking to the social justice warriors. This is the name that we have for college kids who are passionate about social justice issues and who seem to get stirred up over things that might seem to be kind of trivial. I was trying to speak to them about the fact that this is not trivial. This is a real matter of life and death. And the fact is, a lot of you college students are shacked up in the dorms with each other. You think it's perfectly okay to be cohabiting. You think you're going to get away with it. You don't have any kids, so you're not abusing any kids, obviously. So you think it's okay. But that belief system that it's okay to have sex anytime you want to and the kids will be fine, somehow all those problems will go away, that belief system, as it trickles down into the poorer classes of society, the people at the bottom of society, those are the people for whom cohabitation is going to turn out to be a serious risk factor for their kids. And so I'm pleading with the college students, I'm just pleading with you, you guys, Just don't do it. Just stop moving in with each other. In the name of social justice, sacrifice some of your own desire for the sake of the poor, for the sake of something bigger than yourself. You don't have to move in with your boyfriend. Nothing bad will happen if you keep your separate apartments. And even if you do move in with them, could you please stop defending it as being okay? It's not okay for the people at the bottom of the heap. And somebody's just got to say that. That was the plea that I was making to the young people in The Blaze.
This is a theme with you that the sexual revolution has given us a society where, in essence, the privileged and the elite can practice these things with little consequence. But when the same things are practiced by people who are not of privilege or at the bottom rungs of society, the tragic consequences are in evidence. They don't have the economic and social protections.
That's right. They don't have a backup plan. They don't have money in the bank to buy their way out of whatever problem they've gotten into. They can't hire lawyers and specialists to help Junior deal with whatever trauma that they're going through. They're living under poor circumstances in the first place. They may be right on the edge. Lots of families are one paycheck away from serious financial problems. And so if that family breaks up, it's pushing the family into poverty. If a Hollywood person breaks up their marriage, it's just an opportunity for a new press release for them and more attention from the paparazzi and so on to have these peering into their lurid details of their private life, and they make more money out of it. The difference between how it impacts somebody at the top and somebody at the bottom is really quite staggering. And when you start to think about that, really think about it, ask yourself, if you wanted to do one thing to help poor people, the one thing would be to help them, support them in having stable, lifelong marriages. That would be the one thing that you could do. And anybody can contribute to that,
You'll find a link to the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. There'll also be a link there at our website to that as well. Jennifer, thank you for your time.
You're so welcome, Todd.
Folks, you have 7 hours left until midnight central tonight. Take advantage of the dramatically reduced prices being offered at Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale. You can find out more and purchase by clicking the CPH warehouse sale logo at issuesetc.org. Be sure to check out the not-so-perfect section, the not-quite-perfect section. Got some big sales and big savings there. Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale, issuesetc.org. Look for the logo for the warehouse sale. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. James Hitchcock about Pope Francis' selection for New Jersey's first cardinal, and we'll get post-election analysis from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.